Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and meet with the living God and be touched by you. We pray now, Lord, as the word is proclaimed, as the scriptures are read, that we would feed upon you and your word this morning, that we'll be encouraged and built up, we'll be strengthened and sent out. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Bless you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Morning, everyone. Good to see you all. It's a great day. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, God. Why don't we just give a clap to the Lord for his presence right now? Why don't we just give...
Praise him with everything that we have.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I was just sharing this morning with worship team as we were praying together, because we do pray in that children's ministry room before the service, and we do pray right before, right at the end of worship team's gathering. I mean, we love amazing worship songs, right? We love it. It brings us great awareness, and it feels like we're getting to know God more, and good preaching or teachings is also amazing. Fellowship is also awesome. But without the tangible presence of God, without the love of God that we sense as we gather together, as we understand and know and the revelation of who Christ is, our meeting is not great compared to the secular meetings that they have. They put amazing shows and grandiose things that they do, and they practice day in and day out. So, but what separates us, as I said before, is the love and the presence and the glory of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, we are the chosen generation. As in that everybody is called, but we haven't responded to that calling. And God is still calling people. And as we are in relationship with the Lord, we're asking others, revealing Christ to them. So, amen. Thank you, Graham. So he's just doing some, thank you, some tech stuff. I've been sharing things on the Holy Spirit, starting with the day of Pentecost. That happened 2,000 years ago. And we're actually getting into the last fourth week of talking about the Holy Spirit and his gifts. I know that we can talk about the Lord and the Holy Spirit for about a couple of years every week, right? We can go deep about his character, who he is and his essence and his role and the function and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all the things that he has started on the day of Pentecost. We know that Jesus came to save us, to restore us even greater than what Adam and Eve had, that we now become the new creation as the body of Christ. But God did more than that. The gift of Jesus is for the humanity. I shared that, right? Gift of Christ is for the entire world. God so loved the world. But the person, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is only set apart for those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that launched the church age that we are in. Without the active, without the Holy Spirit in us, we are just one of those religious zealots that constantly quote the scripture in hopes to change people's mind. We are no different. But because we have the Holy Spirit and the power coming through the Holy Spirit to destroy the works of the enemy in people and all the things around them, to prove, just like the Old Testament, right? Elijah, the temple, they built all these things to prove that God is mighty. God did not change. So whenever there's the truth that is proclaimed, it comes with power to demonstrate that truth is the truth and everything else is a lie. There's no in between. There's only good and evil. There's only truth and lies. There's nothing in between. And we figure those things out as we grow in Christ. And often we call that sanctification. We go through sanctification process by having relationship with God. And through that, he reveals the truth through scripture and through our interaction. And that leads us to grow in the Lord. It's more than just changing the way we do things. That's always the byproduct. But it always starts with changing our hearts. Amen? So that kind of is an introduction about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes that possible. Jesus makes it possible that we enter into the kingdom and start this incredible relationship. And Holy Spirit make it possible, just like Jesus, to live the life that we're called to live. Without the Holy Spirit, we'll create a whole bunch of traditions and a buffers, just like Pharisees, so that we don't violate the law of God. But in a new covenant, there's only one law, and that is love, love. Amen. So that's what we talked about. We talked about the Holy Spirit. He is God, a comforter, teacher. That's what we did on week one. Second one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know that is for the believers. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We know that there are 9 gifts and there are 7 other gifts that are out there. But we also talked about there's a personal gift, which is praying the tongue. And today we'll talk about guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is very important for us to be led by the Spirit. And I'm going to talk about that in a very practical, simple manner. Because some people say, well, what do you mean being led by the Spirit? How does that look like? Well, as we know, right, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians. We are the temple. Physical body is also what God uses. I know that we can, some people get into Gnostics and they say, well, your spirit is holy, but your body is doomed and all that. In reality, spirit, soul, and body, God created at the beginning with Adam and Eve. He called it perfect. So when he restores, he also restores the physical realm. Amen? God creates a brand new physical reality. That's the book of Revelation. We may get into that one day. Why do we need the Holy Spirit more than ever? As I mentioned to all of us, without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we already have that. Every single person who has surrendered our lives to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, both, right? Lord and Savior, already has the Father God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit abiding, resting, dwelling within us. That is written in John 14 through 17 is there. Jesus talked about that. That's how he also operated, and he talked about that. So in order for that to be beneficial to us, we need to intentionally be guided by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God has highlighted a few things for us to share on how to do it on a practical manner. Amen? So, why don't just pray. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we know that you're in us. You're around us. Father, we thank you. And Jesus Christ, Lord, we open our hearts towards you and toward one another. God, use us and use me as an instrument of righteousness to manifest, to speak truth in love. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, we talked about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit last week or week before. And Paul opens up with this, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Because we know that Corinthian church, that they're flaunting their gifts. Their service was in chaos. You know, they're preaching in tongues. So when Paul says speaking or praying, we got to get the nuance of the context of what Paul is saying from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 all the way through 14. He's talking about different things, even though he might be mentioning the tongue. So when people were gathering like here, and maybe not with the fancy chair like this, right? Probably sitting on the floor, who knows what they're doing. And people would come up and they start preaching in an unknown language. And Paul said, when you are all together in a big group, you need, if you're leading or if you're sharing something, you need to make sure people understand what you're saying. And he said, with tongues, it is okay as long as you get the interpretation of the tongues, which is equal to the prophecy. That's why he said, I would rather that you prophesy. He talked about that. It's very important that we edify one another in the body of Christ. That's why I speak English to you right now instead of my mother tongue Korean. I don't preach in Korean. Would it be funny if I start preaching Korean? I'm not really good at it, but it would be funny. My wife would understand, at least one person out of the rest of you. I would be saying a whole bunch of things, and you would be saying, this guy is clowning me. What's going on, man? Does he expect me to understand all this? Well, that's the whole point of a gathering, is to edify one another. And we know that the nine gifts, and he started with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And he talked about all these are for the body of Christ, the nine gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, affecting and miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, the nine gifts. He said it is for, not for you, it is for the rest of you. It's for us to edify the body and also to prove that God is real outside of our four walls of church. Yeah. And he talks about that. He said, what about the apostle? Is that apostle also everybody's apostle? No. Is everybody a teacher? No. Everybody a pray in tongues? No. Everybody pray in interpretation? No. But he said, those things God has chosen and given us according to our calling and our purpose. But he also talks about there's a personal gift, which is edifying the person who's praying. So we can distinguish those nine gifts, and our personal prayer is separate. And he ends 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 31. He says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still more excellent way. And some of you already guessed where I'm going with this. And he continues on. Let's read together. He continues on. What is the greater gifts? There it is. He talks about it. Why don't we read together? Verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patience. Love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So what is the context of this? Paul talked about all the gifts. And 14, we know that 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks about the orders in the church. You cannot just lavishly display your gift and flaunt them and thinking that you're so mature. So what he's saying is this. The whole purpose of the gifts is love. The whole purpose. The whole purpose God is using us to manifest gift, to heal and encourage and prophesy. All these things is love. To a place where even if you give yourself up to be burned, without agape, without God, love, it's nothing. It does not get added into your heavenly account. I know we don't talk about heavenly account anymore, but first century people were greatly aware of, beyond salvation, their rewards in heaven. And what Paul is saying, no matter what your motivation, no matter how good, kind and gentle that you are motivated by, without God's love activating you to do it according to the way he wants to do it, it benefits us for nothing. Does God still use that? Yes. He still uses the opportunity to demonstrate his kingdom, but for the person who's doing it, without the Lord actually doing it through, without them submitting, it profits that person nothing. That's what the Lord is saying. And we need to be sober about this, because we're in times that many things are happening in our nation, and unless we're led and motivated by the Holy Spirit from an eternal perspective, it profits that individual nothing. So, Young, how do I make sure, right? How do I make sure that I'm walking in this? How do I do that? Like, it sounds good, but how do I do that? Well, let's go through a few pointers. The greatest of all God's gift is his agape love. That is the greatest gift. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. We love because he first loved us. First John, right? It's very important for us to understand this. Second point, those who are led by the Spirit of God walk by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. In John 15, Jesus said, abide in me and bear much fruit and love one another as I loved you. Without bearing the fruit, the branch will be cut off and it will be dry and ultimately thrown into fire. I'll preach on that. I'll share a message on that later on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we're commanded to bear one single fruit. That is love. And according to John 15, we cannot produce it on our own. It's always the byproduct of abiding in God. So there's one hint, abide right there, first one. So why be led by the Holy Spirit? Being led by the Holy Spirit is the best way to live a surrendered and obedient life, full of God's love, freedom, and purpose, bringing glory to God, producing much fruit in our lives, and empowering us to truly love and bless those in and around our lives. How do I be led by that then, right? Young, how do I get led by that? To begin this journey of walking in the Spirit and bearing the fruit of agape love, we must cultivate the spiritual discipline. There's that word, spiritual discipline, of abiding, listening, and obeying in our daily lives. This is how we practice the presence of God. I know that we mentioned practicing the presence of God a few times already, and Brother Lawrence, hundreds of years ago, did that. So I can reassure you, practicing the presence of God on a daily basis can be tangible, and it begins with abiding, listening, and obeying. And I'll break those down more as we continue. So I would like to call my brother Colt. So we know this. Oh, Amanda too? Okay, Colt and Amanda to come up and share how they are being led by the Lord.
So my name's Colt. It's my wife, Amanda. One of the things that is very scary is when you lose your strength and your ability and realize that you can't rest when you have no strength and ability. You'd think that, hey, if I, you know, don't have any energy, if I can't do the things, you think you'd be able to rest a little bit more. But that's been our kind of story in 2026 here, as I felt my health started declining unexpectedly at 44 years old. And it started maybe the year prior, even a few years prior, looking back, where we were trying to conceive, have a second child. You know, our first child came along quite readily and easily, which was wonderful. But as we attempted to have another child, we started, you know, realizing, hey, this is not going as easy. And it turns out that it might have been more on my physiology than Amanda's, so to speak. And so we started exploring this, and then my energy started slowing down. All these, you know, surprises started happening, I guess, in my strength. And then started 2026 was when I really was having trouble getting out of bed a lot of days, and wasn't able to go to work for more than 5-10 hours a week. as a sole income earner, my mental game was quite rattled, realizing, hey, okay, I'm going to depend on God for strength, going to depend on God for finances. But when I started losing a lot of weight and the doctor didn't have answers, that was when I realized like there was really no rest mentally. And so I just want to read a portion of scripture here as we talk about how we were led by God in this time. In Hebrews 4, this is something I don't know that I've ever heard preached on, but a really interesting passage here. God's promise to enter his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. And I don't know that I've ever trembled with fear that a friend of mine or even myself or my spouse might not enter God's rest. Now, this isn't just talking about eternity, so I want you to tune in here. For this good news that God has prepared, this rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, In my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Even though this rest has become ready since he made the world, we know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. Everybody say today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today is when you hear his voice. Don't harden your hearts. And this is really easy to miss when you realize when I can't mentally let go of my fears or my burdens or my have to do's or my should do's or what's next or groceries after church or you name it, right? When we can't let go of that, this is where we're having trouble listening to God's voice. And so when finances started to not come in anymore because I wasn't working as much and we started drawing on savings, I had a moment probably earlier in the year before this all happened where I said to Amanda, I think we're going to be moving soon. And in my mind, it was like within 2 years. You know, we had lived in this house for just under 4 years and we knew it wasn't our forever home, but it was a house that we got to design together and it was a lot of fun. But I said to Amanda, you know, we're going to move. And then the health started to decline. And then maybe you want to share. Oh, yes. And so we felt like the move was actually more imminent than had planned. As funds started to come in, we had a very expensive mortgage. And we said, maybe we need to move like now. We only have so many funds. We might last about 6 months at this rate. And what was interesting is that as we prayed, I really felt the Lord speak to me and say, let Amanda lead. Let Amanda lead this process, which is interesting because scripturally you're the head of the house. Okay, well, how does this play into a role of moving houses? But my background, for those who don't know it, is in real estate. Over 10 years in the business, leading a sales team. I've been in hundreds of transactions. I know when you're looking for a home, what value you should be looking for, what the market should bear, what you should pay, you know, where your lifestyle, ask all the questions, right? And this is why God in his wisdom said, let Amanda lead. So.
Yeah. Lean not on your own understanding. So in this whole process, you know, packing up our home that we had seen a vision for our family growing in, I was grieving through a lot of it and really giving that to the Lord. And there was a moment where I was, I'm working through this Renewing Your Mind course. And this woman, she has these guided meditations where she'll just work through a visual. And so I was like, I'm just going to listen to one today. I feel really exhausted. And I just need to let go of this burden. It was a heavier day in packing and all that. But I start listening to this thing, and she's describing all of these different weeds that she's pulling out of her garden. And she's saying, I'm pulling this weed and it is for all the pain in my life. I'm pulling this weed for all the things that make me angry. And then she says, I'm putting in this bucket and I'm handing it to Jesus. And Jesus just takes it. This bucket is so heavy for me, but he takes it and he carries it like it's nothing. And then she says, and he just like throws all the weeds and he says, come rest with me under the lilac tree. And when I heard this, immediately I feel like the Holy Spirit like put this vision in my mind of all the houses that we had been looking at. You know, we didn't really have a vision for what was to come in the future. And he kind of flashed this home that I had seen in passing. It wasn't really a home that we would ever consider for ourselves. And I realized that there was a lilac tree in front of the house. And I was like, okay. And so I just kept listening to this thing. And then she specifies in her audio thing that I'm listening to. And she goes, and I think it's a Japanese lilac tree. And as soon as I heard that, I just started bawling. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so I go to the listing and I'm scrolling down at the photos. And in one of the front exterior photos, springtime photo, it says Japanese lilac tree in front of the house. And I was like, wow, okay. So Colt, I know this is, we looked at this house. It's not really your kind of house. it's like worth too much. It's not even worth what it's worth, like things like that. But I'm really feeling like we need to see this home. The Lord is leading us to go to this home. And I was like, we need to see it like this, like tomorrow. It's Saturday tomorrow. And so we call our realtor. He's busy that day. And then I see, oh, there's an open house on that day. So we go, and we ended up being the only people there that came to a Saturday open house. And she had never hosted a Saturday open house. There's just so many things that we felt like the Lord was just giving us confirmation and stopping to listen and to continually hear him. And, you know, honestly, if I hadn't heard that Colt heard from the Lord to let me lead, like, this is not something that I would be more vocal about and say, hey, you know, so yeah. Well, amongst what had happened, there was so much time that had passed that our home wasn't our home wasn't selling. Offers were coming onto this home. Every time we submitted an offer, ours would get rejected, another one would go through, and then it would fall through. And every time we were like, okay, just we need to lean on what the Lord is saying in this instead of getting dragged down by the discontentment and the unknowns.
Yeah, and so it's really interesting when the real estate background, so to speak, you rarely, when you have winter photos of a house, it's very rare that you'll have like a picture of a tree in summertime as one of the photos included with it. You might have like a backyard shot or something, but for them to take the specific picture of this specific tree in the front yard as a selling feature is very obscure. But yeah, it was certainly a sign. And that as we were going into the process, I started feeling like the negotiation side coming up, and, you know, does this house have the right features and benefits for our desires, all this stuff. And the Lord reminded me again, let Amanda lead. And so it was just this process of letting go of things, because the funny thing is, we're looking at a house, you look at all the tangible things, right? What does it have? The size, the square footage, the upgrades. What you can't decide is the most important things. Who are our neighbors? Who is going to be an influence to our son? Who will his friends be, right? What are all these opportunities for our family in this specific location? So all we know is that God had been calling us to rest. Come rest under the Japanese lilac tree was the word from God. And there's been a lot of barriers to get there. But in my own physical recovery, there's been this process of just letting God lead and speaking and not ruminating on the what ifs, like, hey, what's really going on in my body? Why have I lost all this weight? And as I've learned to do that, as I've learned to trust him in a new capacity with my own life, that he's starting to heal my body. And so we're moving this month. We might need some help, but we thank you.
Stay there for a second. Why don't we extend our hand to this wonderful couple, Colt and Amanda Charloba. And Father, we bless this incredible couple. They've been in an incredible journey. They're now planning to move from east to west. Father, we also bless their son, Arlo. We know that this neighborhood will be such a blessing as there will be the blessing to the neighborhood. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Amanda. So that's one of the examples of abide, listen, and obey, that God always desires for us to listen to him, because he always have the best pathway for us. So let's go to the next slide and talk about, okay, maybe, there you go. So that represents us. In us, there's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, according to John 14 through 17. That the moment that we receive them, they're already abiding in us. So we abide because he first abides in us. Just like 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. So abiding in the Lord is a response to him abiding in us. And what do I mean by abiding? Abiding is the old English. In the new modern English, we can call it dwelling or remaining or staying indefinitely, right? So he is abiding in us. And how do we abide in the Lord? We abide through intentionally shifting our focus onto God. And oftentimes, at the beginning, we use the scripture, we use the Bible. We have conversation, dialogue with God in our prayer and contemplation, and also praise and worship. And there are many different ways that we can do. What is required is our response to him abiding in us through love. So how do I practically abide? Well, we need to set a time aside. We need to be intentional. We are abiding in the world, by the way. Whether we intentionally or unintentionally, we are abiding in the news, information, the movies and the videos and whatever that we encounter with our mind, we are already abiding. Believe it or not, we are. We are not in a neutral gear. We are receiving, listening, watching, and taking in the information of the world as we live here. And that started with our school system, with our family. And what God is calling us is to start to get plugged into his family, his culture, the kingdom, and all the customs that we have within that, and spend time abiding in his love. And there's that abide leads us to listen. Listening is beyond just audible receptacle that we have, auditory, our eardrum. Listening in a context of the scripture is paying attention to everything that surrounds us, starting with the inner witness and the peace and love and joy within us. Just like the Shalaba talks about confirmation. Confirmation came through listening, whether listening to the audio voice, listening to the signs, circumstances. Listening is that. Listening is hearing God. And whatever that is going around to confirm it is the Lord. Whether that's community of the people that you have, wealth of the experience, that community of people that is in West Ottawa, or the random strangers that will come to you and prophesy, or people that you know prophesy, that's also a form of listening. Or like Amanda case, listening to the audio tape and the author speaks that. Even the author may have spoken long time ago, it is the Holy Spirit that gave her desire to listen to that. Amen? So listening, active listening is very important. It's always relational listening, starting with the Lord and starting with other people around us. And we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And third, once we listen, so listening will lead us to obeying. Once we listen, we can obey. Once we confirm like they did, we can begin to step out. So without listening, we cannot obey. Why? Because how do you obey things that you have not been told by the Lord? You obey by listening. And sometimes it is also the written scripture that is meant for the entire body of Christ, not certain segment of the small group of people. Again, there's certain small group of people that the Bible is applied to, not every single one of us. Example, if the scripture said, go and make disciples of the nations, that is our commission. But in listening to God, we can tell when and how and where. So we don't randomly suddenly break into some group and start standing up, and unless God told you that. You know what I mean? So it requires active listening for us to discern how to obey. And often the faith comes when, I'm going to talk about that a little bit, when we hear something, the gift of faith. We know that gift of faith doesn't operate all the time. Not the human faith, but one of the nine gifts. It operates, so we go beyond fear and anxiety of the unknown and just step in, just reach out. He gives us that. That's important. So worship him if you want to transition in. So I'm going to share a little bit of our testimony, my personal testimony, in regards to tying all this. So some of you know that my wife and I, we usually abide the first thing in the morning, right? We believe that starting with maybe 2 or 3 minutes, connecting with the Lord, very first thing you wake up, read a verse or pray or worship, whatever we do, but we actually make the morning prayer the very first thing that we do when we wake up. So we've been praying, and we talk, and we sit down before the Lord, and we communicate. And it was, I guess it was around 2008, when one of our business crashed because of the global recession that happened 2008. And our savings were eating away, and we had a house that the Lord led us to buy. Was beyond our capacity or means. We had multiple confirmation to buy that house. But as soon as we bought that house and moved in, the global recession hit. And that circumstances of pressure led us to continue to seek God. And in the times of abiding, he kind of impressed in my heart to go seek the procurement manager at one of the major grocery chain in Ottawa to put in an offer or to start a business, food production business, that we kind of tried about a year ago with the other business. We were starting another one, which is not related to the business that we had. But we failed about a year ago. 2007, I tried it, failed, and I assume I didn't listen. Multiple confirmation, multiple people coming. I said, that can't be true. I already tried. And at one of the times, this brother of mine, we're going to Peace Tower back. No, we're going to, not Peace Tower, Dominion Outreach Center, DLC. We went to DLC back then, and I felt the nudge to say, well, why don't I go to headquarters of that main grocery chain? And every day we will circle around for 7 days, just pray. And I kind of share with my wife, Sonny, and I start laughing. That can't be true. What a stupid imagination. Can I come up with something different than do the Jericho walk? I was laughing, and she was like, I don't know, young, that sounds silly. And our children were like 2 and 7 back then. And we had a service that Sunday, and one of my brothers, who's very prophetic, he's like an old-time prophet, he's very weird, and he doesn't really blend in, he's in your face. And he kind of came up to me and said, young, I feel like you need to go around that headquarter 7 days. And I said, okay, that's a major confirmation. I didn't even say anything. So we did, by the way, we did start going around Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? 7 days. On a 7th day, I sat at their parking space and called the headquarters number. And I was able to connect with procurement manager right away. Because it's a new guy that came in. Did not have history with me He answered, asked me to come in. And by that confirmation, we had boldness to prepare a platter of the different types of food that we're making, present it to them, and they offer us contract right away. And within 3 months, we started from one store to seven stores with seven physical locations. I mean, three or four physical locations within the store with our staffs running the operation in 3 months, which probably had like 2 or 3 hours sleep a day. But that's what abide, listen, and obey does, is an ongoing process that we connect with God. We practice the presence of the Lord. It's very tangible. Again, abiding, initially, ideally, abiding should be a place where we respond to His greatness, His love, His compassion. Ideally, when we receive Jesus, we should have been in a place where we recognize that we needed a Savior, that we are a wretched sinner, that we had no hope. And suddenly here comes the Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are so in love and so full of passion to obey whatever He desires to say. But unfortunately, a lot of us, including myself initially, did not have that. So in order for us to properly abide, we need to abide in His word. Some of us, we need to step out in faith and begin to initiate studying the Word of God. Begin to replace the thought, things, and the mindset of the world with the mindset of God. Abide, listen, and obey always equals love, truth, and freedom. Let me repeat that. Abide leads to listen, which leads to obey, which brings the result of love, truth, and freedom. Everything that the world is looking for right now, everything that the people of this world is crying out for right now, what is it? You know this. Come on. You don't have to be serious. Is what? Love, truth, and freedom to do whatever they want. Right? I mean, from the worldly mindset. Financial freedom, whatever, right? Freedom from disease or whatnot. We have that. And I'm hoping, I'm encouraging all of us. I want to encourage you that as I was, if some of you are here and you struggle with this idea of authority and the power and the Holy Spirit and you don't experience any of it, and obviously, if you've been chosen, if you surrendered your life to Christ, you are supposed to go through hardship and challenges because that's where we connect with God. But instead of connecting, you're rejecting, you're pouty, you're angry at the Lord. Maybe perhaps, like I was, we did not know how to enter into this place of abiding, listening, and obeying. I want to share with you, without this foundation, without this foundation that we're building our faith and everything in the kingdom on this rock of abiding in His love, abiding in the truth, abiding in God's presence, and listening to whatever He says, whether He loves me or encouraging me and asking me to do things, and also empowering me to obey, we will feel like an orphan. He made us sons and daughters. And we paid nothing for that. Jesus paid the price for us to connect to that place. And through abiding and listening, obeying, we will learn to surrender more and more of our lives. That's the pathway to sanctification. Some of us are waiting for feeling or incredible revelation to begin the journey of abiding, spending time with the Lord the first thing in the morning. No. I mentioned this before, if you are incredibly undernourished, you may not have the strength to feed. So you got to force feed yourself. Do not wait for the feelings to come for you to read the scripture or pray. Feeling will always come if you're driven by that, if some of us are driven by that feeling or emotion, I guarantee they often come after, not before. Just like when we worship with the worship team, we get full of joy after we initiate worship, not before. Because this is life. Abiding is our calling, is our privilege, is a blessing, is a life. And we have to trust every time we spend time with God, no matter how you do it. Everybody's different. Very first thing in the morning, however you do it. It is so, so, so good for you. It is so amazing. Every single person, I know that we all have different function and a calling according to whatever he called us. Even someone like Billy Graham, who had major, major challenges at the early stage of his ministry, he had a major breakthrough by spending time before the Lord in a field. And he encountered God. And Jesus often went away, our Lord and Savior, doing exactly that, away from people, alone with God, abiding, listening, and obeying. And one of the great examples is when he selected 12 apostles. He spent all night in the presence of the Lord and appointed 12 apostles, knowing one of them will betray him. And even at the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed so loud, they heard him pray. And when he finally surrendered, then the angels came and strengthened him, not before. Let me repeat that. When he finally said, not my will, but let your will be done, and when he surrendered, then the angels came and strengthened him. We can do this. If we abide and listen and obey, walk in this incredible journey with the Lord, we can transform our neighborhood. We can transform this city. But without this foundation, we may be used by the Lord, but personally, our lives will be in wrecks because enemy will constantly attack. We're not hopeless. We're not powerless. We have absolutely amazing power and the authority to start abiding. I want to pray for us right now. Father, we pray for conviction of the Holy Spirit for us to no longer use the mindset of the world. I don't have to do this and that. I don't have to do anything. God did everything. Lord, help us to recognize that we're active participant as the family member of the kingdom of God. Father, help us understand who we are. Help us to grow into the fullness and the stature of Christ that paid with his life for. Father, help us to grow out of the milk that we're always in need to be fed, but begin to eat of the milk by volunteering to be abiding, to be listening, to be obeying. Father, if we have no trouble living our lives without doing this, help us to know that we're actually in a greater trouble than we realize. If our lives are actually fine without us cultivating relationship with God, it is actually a dangerous place that we're in the hands of the enemy. Enemy is perpetuating, even allowing us to grow in the place without the Lord, so we would never ever seek him. Father, help us to realize that. You desire for us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Father, we pray for encouragement. We pray for divine visitation. We pray for encounter. For us to begin this incredible journey of abiding in your love, in your word, in your presence, in your truth, and listening as you lead us through different people, different circumstances, different scenario, paying attention with our spirit, and obeying by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Father, I speak blessing over every single one of us, and I plead the blood of Jesus over every single one of us, that you have already equipped us. You have already given us that experience of great grace and love. Father, help us to remember that. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Some of you, if you want to come up and maybe want to receive some prayer or ministry time to restart or even begin this journey. Maybe you've done it in the past, but you kind of got lost through the busyness of time, that we would like to pray with you and for you. Some of you want to maybe continue to receive ministry where you're sitting. That's also fine. We bless you.